Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice, the world's only 12-hour strong man on the air, here on We Love Radio 108 FM, the last on your dial, but first in your heart, and that's the truth, Root. Here I am. Am I here? You know it, you know. This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy doing the nasty to your ears to the nasty. Eyes only play the platters that matter, the matters they platter. And that's the Taruk Root.
From the heart of Bed-Stuy, you're listening to We Love Radio.
Doing the yin and the yang, the hip and the hop, the stupid fresh thing, the flippity flop. Oh! I have today's forecast for you. Hot! The color for today is black. That's right, black, so you can absorb some of these rays and save that heat for winter. So you want to get on out there, wear that black, and be involved. Also, today's temperature is going to rise up over 100 degrees, so there's a Jerry Curl alert. That's right, Jerry Curl alert. If you have a Jerry Curl, stay in the house, or you'll end up with a permanent plastic helmet on your head forever.
So, hi, and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas, yes. And I am on strike. Please understand.
What do we want? Yeah! What do we want?
What do we want? Good movies. When do we want it? Now, goddammit. Damien.
Hi.
Damien.
Yep.
What did you do?
You have to
I'm
talk
on strike.
About, yeah, no, you have to talk about two movies you do not like tonight.
So the first movie we have up, we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about Nate Parker's "The Birth of a Nation."
Yeah.
No. You're a child of God. You got purpose. The law put it there, and nobody can take it away.
These books are for white folks. They're full of things your kind wouldn't understand. You're special, boy Nathaniel. Study hard here.
Your slaves sure do know how to behave.
Well, they God, fam. One of them's a preacher.
People might pay good money to
story of Nat Turner.
Save the children.
And the failed revolution.
Sure. That it was more uprising.
Uprising, sorry. Uprising. I was trying to think of the right... Revolt was the word I'm thinking of. Yeah. Right? It was a revolt.
Yeah, it was a revolt.
Cool.
But it was revolting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I see what you did there. You tried to make a joke.
Stop. Yeah. Nah.
Damien. You brought this movie
puns
to us.
Puns are for children, by the way.
You brought this movie to us.
Yeah, I figured we should start off 2017 the way that we're going to continue 2017.
How's that?
The world is drawing lines, especially in some of the bigger countries. And we're going to have to deal with a lot of racism this coming year. British voted yes to racism, and America... definitely voted yes to racism. And since those are where we get the majority of our movies from, and news, and culture, and technology.
Look, I say we just go full China.
No, all of my phones are from Korea. They just have revenge.
Can we just watch Chinese movies?
No. I've seen what they put out. The answer is no.
So, okay. Birth of a Nation, Damien.
Right.
Let's just see him try and justify.
No, stop talking. I don't want to hear it. And it's not that justification. I actually really like this movie, so you fuck yourself. What I'm the reason I was laughing is that
which button
the movie button? The movie I was rewatching this movie today so that I could do this podcast because I knew Douglas hates it and saw it the first time and liked it and now I was rewatching it to see what it is that Douglas will hate. Like, just trying to watch a movie to try and to gauge how much Douglas will hate it. And I remembered what I saw Nate Parker in first. It was a movie
with... I honestly don't remember Nate Parker before this movie.
Oh, it was a movie with, what's his face? Damn it. I remember, you know, I know.
Let me go to IMDb and see what pops out at me. He was in Nonstop.
What's a pretty
he was
woman?
In The Great Debaters. Beyond the Lights.
Arbitrage, right. Oh. That is the first movie that I remember him from. That's weird, because that movie sucks. It had a lot of people in there that me and Douglas liked.
Yep.
But that movie sucks.
No, it has one person you like.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Right? Yeah, all right.
She's a lot of person.
Right. And you have multiple reasons not to like her, though. All
right. No.
Didn't you not like the OA?
That doesn't mean I don't like her. I don't understand you. Listen, Andrew, once I am
he's not following locked logic.
In, right?
You're locked
I'm locked in.
In okay,
right.
Cool.
It's flawless.
Speaking of which, have you watched that show yet?
Which banger of a show? What show?
The OA?
No.
Okay.
I've been watching a lot, is it, and I'm not talking about
it. Is it a prequel to the OC?
It's pretty good. So I didn't know that this was his directorial debut. Which has impressed me even more about this movie, because it doesn't feel like a movie that a first-time director would make. But the movie is strong. It is written by him, for him, and directed by him, so you can see where his performance led, carrying the movie. It's
Damn
him.
Man, are you saying this movie is
It's
like,
FUBU, yes.
It's FUBU.
It's FUBU.
You know what that's
Yep, like. I knew. I saw you laughing, I was ignoring you. Like a flashy light that said FUBU over your head, because they're already there. But he carries the movie. The movie isn't paced properly. There's a lot of things that happen towards the end that outside of understanding that slavery is wrong, the movie itself doesn't justify some of the actions that happened towards the end. It wasn't built up in any way. But I forgave it, because the whole world understands that slavery is not good. So any steps taken.
Since 2017 is the year that I weigh in on issues,
yeah.
I'd like to let you know you're right. Slavery
okay.
is not good.
You also you right. fall on the side,
fall
of,
on the side
no,
of
no to slavery.
No
that's
to
pretty
slavery.
Good. Is no to racism to our. That's just for people.
Still
you're
waiting.
Not sure. Right. Some races, though. Let's be serious. But the movie, the thing about rewatching this movie, and this is the thing I was trying to put into words, but I'm not really
good at words.
Good at words.
But this is the only language
I have,
speak,
unfortunately. I have a real fatigue with Holocaust movies.
Yeah, we talked about this last
week. Right. And I know Douglas does not like this genre of movie. He would like to keep as much of his white guilt in the towards the back of his mind as possible. And leave it there where it belongs. And move forward. Unfortunately, he lives in this world at this time, so it's not good. And I can see that this movie is not the best one of these movies. There's been a lot of movies made about racism, and this one, the story it tells should be more impressive, but the way he tells it really isn't. But his performance was so good, and the movie was shot so well, that I forgave most of what was happening. Let me tell you what the movie is about. Slavery, of course. Got that one right off the top. He's a preacher. But his master is being paid to have him preach to black people only specific sections of the Bible. So they're using religion as what it is always used for, a weapon. And the movie doesn't really take the time to explore that would have made it a lot more interesting. But what it does, because he's moving from plantation to plantation, he sees a lot more injustices being done to black people. And where he's from, his plantation, it isn't that severe. His master, Armie Hammer, which Armie Hammer is now, I think he might be one of my favorite actors, because he keeps coming in movies that I really like him in. With the exception of one glaring omission.
Yeah, this one.
A Disney movie where he's a cowboy. Johnny Depp was racist. And so because of the atrocities that he's seen, and he's starting to, you know, explore more of the Bible that he wasn't allowed to read, and finding more and more instances in the Bible where it doesn't line up with what he's been preaching. And of course there's a thing that pushes him over the edge, and he decides to lead this uprising, and the uprising fails. It is not, there's no happy ending to this movie. There is a shot towards the end though, where a young boy kind of betrays them, and there is a close-up of him, and so the camera zooms in just on his eyes, and you see where he's kind of tearing up, and then it zooms back out, and you see him as a grown man fighting in the Civil War. And it is things like that that when I found out after the fact that this was his first time directing, stuff like that, I'm like, that doesn't feel like, none of that feels like something that, oh, this is my first time behind a camera, I'm going to have these flourishes. And I found out some other things surrounding the movie a while back, and I was kind of looking into it to see if people were still up in arms, and of course they aren't. The news cycle moved on. Like, there's
no, this movie didn't get nominated, so
it's going to start back up.
It felt like to me the whole campaign was, don't let this be a fucking Oscar movie. Right? And now that has passed.
Right. Everything else just blew away.
Right. Okay. And I mean, I'm sure, like, if you were to walk up to one of those people and you said, I saw Birth of a Nation yesterday, they'd be like, why did you watch that? It would start between you two. Right? Okay. But it's not something which is at the top of the list
right
now.
I just
on
assume
internet,
that the news cycle
on
just
internet
went,
things.
Yeah, we have other shit.
At least that's the way I read all of the...
You're probably right. There's probably people that definitely didn't want this movie nominated because of themes.
And I mean, the movie, this is kind of
his
performance. This is a genre of movie where they typically just hand it out like candy.
Right. This is literal Oscar bait. His performance, though, should have gotten him nominated for Best Actor. It's the best performance I've seen from any man this last year. So, hopefully he'll get a nomination for that. But the movie on a whole isn't the strongest, but I enjoyed his performance too much to let it really bother me.
So, okay, I'll leave Douglas alone for a little bit while we try and figure out how to deal with his strike.
Which one's he?
He's that one over there. It's 1, 2, 3.
Ah.
So you can, that mutes him. His mic won't work. But he's still right there, so our mics will pick him up anyways. So, firstly, I've mentioned this before, because we've kind of shrugged this off a while back. The movie, I don't really like this movie that much. The thing about it is that I don't think it's an egregiously bad movie to call it, like, complete trash, right? I don't think it's a good movie to even really make a big thing over it, which is why, as I said, this is a genre of movie that, like, Oscars hand out like candy for. That this is the kind of movie that it would be the version of the movie that I know Douglas hates to see, because not only is it this genre and this story, but if it were the movie that got 20 Oscar nominations and people flew over, this is the movie Douglas imagines all of them really are. even though there are great ones out there that we all like 12 Years a Slave,
yeah.
right? Which is great.
Which is great.
This movie, however, like it's strange because the movie opens. I rewatched this movie yesterday because I saw it at TIFF and like, it was just a train wreck. I rewatched it yesterday and the movie opens with the scene of him as a child, and it's not really clear whether that's like dream or or real, or and it comes back and forth throughout the movie, and that's fine. I don't need it to be clear, but the movie progresses with this concept of he's special, and he's shown to be special through the fact that he becomes literate and is able to
please remember he's like a chosen one,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
He's not special because the camera makes him seem special and he's the protagonist. He's a fucking god.
Right.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Right, cool. Continue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you're supposed to be quiet. You're on strike.
Didn't I mute him?
Right.
You unmuted him. You took off the button because, as I told you, it wouldn't really help. And the movie continues. And the thing about it is that this movie plays out for the first 45 minutes to an hour almost like you'd expect it to, with everything that it gives you at the beginning, right? He's the chosen one, he's special, he reads the Bible, he's a preacher, he's respected among his...
Speaking of preacher.
that's not till later in the year. Damn it. Actually, I should look and see if he's actually coming back this year. You know, these things like
focus
to... But I'd like to talk about preacher instead. Can I do that?
Everyone.
Anyways, and all of these things that make him more special, mm-hmm. right? And he even has this friendly relationship with his master, mm-hmm. which we know watching this movie that it's going to be tested and changed
right.
as the movie progresses.
Right, because you've seen movies before.
Right. But the thing about this movie is it keeps going down that line. And eventually at a point, I found myself just kind of sitting there and going like, oh, wait, I don't give a fuck. Right, like I don't even know what it really was about this movie. Like somewhere in that first like 45 minute to an hour block, like I just went like, no, I don't think this movie's that good. Like I just kind of woke up out of the trance of movie going,
right.
And I was just like, eh. And the rest of it almost came off amateurish to me at that point, where seeing even things like that dream scene coming back and back again over time, like I'd watch it and I'd be like, no, that looks kind of cheesy and weird and dumb. And then like the one thing I'd say is that you're talking about the ending shot where you see the guy, and actually rewatching the movie, that shot like came off a lot better for me. But I remember watching it for the first time and I was ready to be super upset, mm-hmm. because like I imagined in my head that he was going to like time lapse it all the way to boy in hoodie. And I was just going to be angry at the movie for being that heavy. But it didn't, so I'm not, but like, I'm just saying, like, that's what was in my head, right? And like for the rest of this movie, it's one of those movies where I'm like, I don't want to go out on a limb and be like, guys, this is the garbage fire that we all didn't want it to be. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not a great movie. I know it's not good to me. It's just so mediocre and I don't give a fuck that it's just there and I wish I don't have to watch it again.
So the thing about him being special and the chosen one and whatever, part of my interest in this movie was to see how it played out for him, because you knew that it wasn't going to end. Like, there is no chosen one that led black people out of slavery. Not in America. And so I wanted
they need to
see...
make a nanny movie.
Right.
And they can...
A Pied Piper. R. Kelly can play. Lead black people out of slavery.
And you got your Bible fighting scene where they were just...
Right,
doing...
yeah, that was pretty good too. But... Like... He, at some point, because he was told he was special for so long, he at some point decided that, yeah, I am special. I will lead all these people and my plan will work and everything. And then you just saw it all in one motion. Just go to shit. Just, nope. Just, yeah, we're going to do this, and then just, nope. And other people suffered. Like, not only the people who went with him, but other people suffered and had literally nothing to do with it. So on its face, like, for the immediate reaction,
but those people suffered via a scene where his wife tells him while he's hiding in the bushes. Like, it's not really effective.
Oh no, no, no! What I'm saying is,
you're talking about a historical thing of interest.
So, like, they show all of the people that were hanged as a result. Like, there was the scene with the tree, and realize,
the Nina Simone song, though.
Right? Which that was heavy-handed. When they play "Blood on the Leaves," I'm like, "Come on, guys!"
Strange Fruit is the name of the song. Like,
was it Nina Simone though?
Oh my!
Ooh. Or was it Billie Holiday?
Billie Holiday.
Okay, just making sure. I'm not sure because I don't remember, and I'm sure she may have done a version of that song. It's the type of song Nina Simone would have done, but Billie Holiday is definitely the big artist that did that.
My bad. I believe it's Billie Holiday.
Probably. And we need a moratorium on that song and slavery movies. You can't play it in there.
That song is awesome, though. That's a great song.
No, I 100% agree. It cannot be played in any more slavery movies. We have to.
That and Sweet Low?
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Because that one's in this one, too.
For time. Yes. Guys, write new songs. Right, you're making up most of this anyway. Make up another song.
I mean, Tarantino used different songs for his own,
to some slavery songs. Can work.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Have Tarantino play Rick Ross.
Yeah,
he did it in his slavery movie. I know. Who cares at this point?
Yes, you know, not me. Blood Diamond can kind of work.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Have Quali sing some songs. He's the conscious rapper. Have him write new songs for these terrible movies. But watching all of that build up around him and the thing that he was made to do and he was going to lead and whatever. And he took a shot and was like, like it didn't last 24 hours. He's just like, we're doing this. And then nothing. And
we got a cannon.
Yeah. And so that was, I appreciated that they built him up as the guy. Like, you are born to be the guy. Exactly.
This is the Matrix.
And turns out, no. No, you're not the guy. You did inspire a lot of people, but you wouldn't have died knowing that. And I was impressed by that. But as I said, the story, like, it dropped the ball in a lot of key places. But
this
I enjoyed
sound like somebody happy with this movie.
No, I enjoyed his performance. You're not one of those people. Like, once you dislike the movie, everyone's performance tends to fade out. Like, you no longer care about anything that happens in the movie.
No, on occasion there can be a dumb joke that he makes that he remembers. Right. That's about it.
But if you act the shit out of a movie, I will give you props.
You remember him talking about boyfriend material?
Yeah.
Like, he held on to that.
He held on to it.
That, like, was, that joke was perfect.
Yeah.
No, that material is
right.
I just have that on a loop for an hour and a half. I watch that movie for days.
I think I like this movie. All right, Douglas, it is your turn.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
I'm officially on strike from talking about this movie, but there are a couple of things I want to say very quickly.
Right.
One is that this movie is lazy.
Okay.
Right? And his performance is not good. All right? And both the movie and him in his performance, and kind of everybody, clearly think that it is great. And that's not a positive for me. The thing about these type of movies and the sort of bile, almost the hatred that I have for them, is because of how people react to it. So, for instance, and let's just start almost on the polar opposite side of the fence, right? So when you and I watch a movie like Mr. Right, mm-hmm. which is probably objectively a lazy movie,
yeah.
right? We still, for whatever reason, kind of like it, right? You know?
Right. You yeah. find...
You find like, reasons
the
to movie,
you find the movie charming. Exactly. It might not be good, but it's fun.
Right. And when I watch Chef, mm-hmm. I love that movie. And they're not...
Can I talk about when I watch Thor?
No, no, no.
I really feel like Chef is a good movie still, but, you know, it can be argued, so sure.
it can be argued that it's not a good movie.
But, so those movies... those movies I can enjoy because the rest of the world look at it and know what it is, mm-hmm. right? Either a bad movie that's bad
okay.
or a bad movie
I think that's really
that,
going, no.
that they can understand if somebody likes it.
Right.
When you watch a movie like this...
Right, and 12 years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
When all it takes is to just touch a certain topic.
Right.
Whether it is for you, it's the Holocaust.
Right.
For me, it's this, it's slavery. Mm-hmm. Or anything kind of race relations related.
Right.
That makes no sense, but let's mm-hmm. move on. No matter how lazy it is, no mm-hmm. matter how bad it is, people love it and they hide behind the pretense that it's an important story that
right,
needs to be told.
And
I can't stand
it. It is preordained that
yes.
this movie is important yes. because of the subject matter.
Exactly. And so I'm not saying that there aren't great movies
right,
within this genre or similar genres.
I see where you're getting at. But that is not my issue with movies about the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Isn't that?
Oh, okay.
That's not my... Like, and that's where you're coming from. And part of me agrees with you that certain topics, the second you touch them, second anyone touch them, mm-hmm. it is like there's this waft of importance.
Yeah.
Detroded by importance. And you have to peel back. And then anything you see negative about the movie... people can argue that, oh, it's because you don't agree with the right,
or you don't understand the
right.
Price, you know,
right. Damon, are you guys arguing against the Oscar-winning Spotlight?
Right, right. All right. So my issue with the Holocaust movies are that. They've made so many of them. It is the issue I'm running in right now with comic book movies.
Okay.
That I've
yeah.
seen
yeah.
so fucking much of them. That this, like, the window that you have to tell a good story that I, right, a good story that I have not seen is so narrow. Right? Because, like, even Deadpool this year, I like Deadpool, right? But then, when I think back about Deadpool, the parts that I enjoy aren't the comic booky parts.
Yeah.
That is where
it's just
I
a
am,
dumb joke.
Right. That yeah. is where I am now with comic book movies. That clearly, I'm not the only one. That is why this Deadpool movie got made. Because so many people have seen them. They're just like, listen, we just need to make fun of this entire genre. Because, boy, I'm tired of seeing man in cape and man in spandex punch other man in spandex. I'm so bored for all of this nonsense. Please stop. And Doctor Strange came out in a good year because it, even though it was literally a man in a cape, there was something, there was like magical elements to it. I didn't feel so comic booky the entire run of the movie.
It was Iron Man with magic, essentially.
Right. But
which I'm fine with because I really like that movie.
But there's actual, like, you can see the magic.
Yeah.
And you say, all right, fine. It is different. It is not yeah. the strong man punches thing.
Could it be that comic books aren't really a genre?
Sure, whatever.
Whatever.
The. If you make too many of one type of movie and it is unwe. Because. Holocaust movies, so with the exception of the one that we watched last year, was it? Where there was a narrow...
Too many of one kind of movie.
Yeah, spread across 50 years.
No, but in this year...
No, but
in
these
this
are
year,
simple, these are simple, stupid movies.
We're talking about movies. Westerns, by the way.
Yeah, Westerns are simple.
I pointed to a Western.
Yeah.
they're dumb. There's no importance attached to westerns or stupid movies. With the Holocaust in particular, there's only, like, once you get to the World War part of it is one. That's just a war movie. You can make any dumb war movie.
Let's all talk about the Dirty Dozen.
When you get to the Holocaust part, that is something ultra specific. And once you touch that subject, everybody knows where this is going, right? There's no real way to deviate once you get to that part of the war.
Did you like Son of Saul, by the way?
No.
Okay.
Right. I found it. Mm-hmm. Like, apart, with the exception of the visuals, I've seen that story already. But it doesn't have anything to do. The importance of a movie is neither here nor there for me. But I can see where that would be infuriating. When every time there's a movie about a certain topic, you're supposed to have some reverence. And it narrows the things that you can say about the movie. Because if you stray too far, then people say, oh, you're insensitive to the subject. No, whatever.
I would find somebody.
I don't see that. I mean, movies are dumb.
So I definitely have a negative bias going into any movie like this.
I can't.
But
see.
I do really feel like this movie just wasn't very good.
Yeah, this isn't the strongest one. Yeah. 12 Years a Slave, like, it's the most one. This is the one that's freshest in everyone's mind. That movie is.
And every year there are a few of them that come out.
Yeah. And especially just, our own this time.
Yeah, well,
it's Oscar season, right?
It is. Oscar well, season. No, it's, you know, it's getting close to February. Right. It's what I think he meant.
No, I thought I was. Oh, Oscar. Okay. Yeah, no, it's not.
But
Martin Luther King.
Right. I'm just saying.
That's today, by the way.
The thing is, it's a thing we have to. I feel we have to state every time we get to anywhere near these topics, like we were born here in this country. So we haven't seen it. Like, even if it does exist in this country, let's say it does.
You're talking about racism, right?
Racism.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're not talking about slavery.
No,
slavery,
I mean,
existed here.
But you see,
we have a problem with human trafficking here.
The difference about here and there is that the ratio.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the difference.
Yeah. And, like, slavery has to be something that is systematic. Like, it has to be entrenched. And it's, like, you just don't see it here. So I don't really have, like, I really do, like, after watching these movies.
The other thing I would say about these movies, and let me be so crude as to call it a genre.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
this
slavery movies are
genre of movies. Yeah. Right, I feel like it takes it upon itself almost in the same vein that horror movies do, where they feel they have to find a new shocking thing to show you to like shock you into that importance. So, for example, with this movie, I think the shocking moment in this, which I can't tell you for certain, but I've never seen it or anything, but I don't think I have, is the scene where he goes to one of the other plantations and you see him knocking out the teeth.
Right.
Right, to feed the guy.
Really?
Yeah.
You thought so? I've seen that in movies before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing that, you know, got taught in school. I thought you were going to go with when he saw his wife and her face.
Oh, mm-hmm. No.
And I think they can tone that part down too.
The shock value stuff.
Yeah, I think it's... If you're making a documentary...
And the thing about it, and I'm going to keep bringing up this movie because this is the good version of this movie to me, 12 Years a Slave. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is in that movie they had the shock value in things, but it was put into context, into this weird context where like the one that I keep remembering that doesn't leave my mind is this one shot where he's left in the middle of a field basically hanging and he's like on this little mud pile. Right. And you just sit there with him for like, I don't remember how long it was, but it feels like it's like a couple of minutes.
Right.
But you just watching him kind of shimmy and stay.
Like, and like, his way
and like it's hang. Shocking, but at the same time, it's something else, right? It stays with you in ways that, like, this movie's shock value of all of those moments just feel that. It feels like it's trying to shock you as opposed to really trying to do something.
And, like, seeing like
people like Tarantino play with these genres, which is why I respect him even when he makes questionable decisions. But then, like, every time he puts out movies, there's always the people that I think it is the people you resent rather than the people who subscribe to the pretense that, because they always come out every time Tarantino does a movie or someone else that makes light the things that used to happen. They're like, no, it was serious, and he overused the N-word, and the violence is too graphic, and this and that, and you just want to slap them in the face and go, it's his movie. Like, he didn't say a true story by Tarantino. It's a movie.
So you're saying it's like my reaction to when I read that article saying that La La Land is gender, is racist because white people save jazz. That's not La La Land. I'm going to struggle, you know.
I haven't seen that movie. I'm probably not going to like it for the song on that.
Essentially, Andrew, you're saying that the justification for your position on La La Land is that Kenny G saved jazz a long time ago.
Okay. God damn Kenny G.
You guys don't like Kenny G?
Oh, can you not love him and his smooth saxophone?
His smooth, shitty saxophone.
Can we move on to Michael Bolton now? Can we get...
Let's move Michael Bolton into this.
Can we get... Who would make the hat trick in this joke?
Yanni? Listen, this movie is about racism. We have to talk seriously about this movie.
Damien.
There's no jokes on this podcast. Not today.
Stop it. It's too serious.
This podcast is too important.
Right.
It's the like, unnamed podcast.
Like Craig Mack, I take this podcast style real serious.
We're not taking you out of that. You have to dig your own way out.
What you think? It ain't. That's... Oh, God, I miss you, Craig Mack.
No,
you're
you
so
don't.
Bad.
No, you don't miss him.
He's so bad. For the three people that get that joke.
Is there anything else we want to talk about with this movie? I feel like we've long passed.
I did enjoy his performance. That is most, and the fact that he's first time directing, like, it seemed well directed to me. I didn't have the issues that you guys had. I agree that the story isn't strong. It's not better than 12 Years a Slave. But if we start measuring all movies by that, we'll have a very limited list of movies. Except Douglas. Douglas will have a shitload of movies that he can watch.
Chef will be up there. Deadpool will be up there.
Me and you, though, we can't. Like, you can't just do that. These movies aren't the same movie. I didn't find anything about this movie as negative as both of you, and I understand why Douglas didn't, because boy, he hates this runner movie. And Andrew didn't like the story enough to care, as he said, he checked out like 20, like, I mean, well, fuck it. About slavery artists.
I'm like, why didn't I go to Moonlight instead? Yeah. I made a mistake.
Throw away money is what I did.
To be fair, I tried to get the earliest showing for this movie because all I wanted to do, I knew I wasn't going to like the movie from day one. I just wanted him to be at the Q&A and for shenanigans to occur.
That's a good way to go into a movie, right? Just step into a movie. I fucking hate this movie. No. Let's see.
I think you've met Douglas. His arms are still folded right now. Right. You met him that way. Yeah. He's still that way now.
Right.
Have you ever seen his arms unfolded?
Once or twice. Jim Jefferies had something to do with it. So that doesn't count.
Bill Burr!
Like, I've actively tried to stop that. That thing where I decide ahead of time whether or not I like a movie. So if I know I don't like it, like if I know I don't like a movie, it is easier for me to not watch a movie. Yeah. And then years later I go, was that movie trash? When I don't remember why it was that. And I can't watch it, I go, yeah, this movie is trash.
I did actually try to like it. When I went in there, I'm like, alright, Douglas.
Focus.
Let's Let's do this.
Right. Arms at side.
But it didn't. It didn't look work straightforward. Very well.
Don't stare at phone.
So
no checking Twitter.
Moving on.
Hi.
Talking about, since you brought it up, mm-hmm. the concept of going into movies and being open to them and not mm-hmm. being actively against them. There's another part of that that I want to talk about a little bit, mm-hmm. Which is movies you go into knowing exactly what they are and then hate it for what it is. Right? This week I watched a movie. It's one of those movies that became a part of like the list of movies I wanted to catch up with from last year that I heard people raving about, but it was a movie I knew I would never want to bring to this table.
Yeah.
Because
bad words.
First of all, if Douglas was that angry for Wiener last year, like, he would probably jump over the table and stab me if I made him watch this one.
Physical.
This movie is called Camera Person. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary by this cinematographer. She's been working as a documentarian cinematographer for the last 25 years. And literally this movie is footage from those 25 years of the movies she's made. And not even footage from those movies, like outtakes of things she likes that she did over the 25 years, put together one after another, kind of like...
And she just talking over
it? No, there's no talking. It's just that. Right?
Oh, my word.
On occasion, you'll hear her asking questions because that was in the footage. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, there's footage of her in things like Yemen, trying to sneak a shot of a prison. Mm-hmm. There's footage of her in Darfur. Mm-hmm. There's footage of her with her mother who suffers from Alzheimer's at a ranch. There's footage of her children. Footage of all sorts of things from all over the globe. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember. There's this one country that she goes to. I've forgotten the name of the country. And there was an ethnic cleansing. And she did a documentary about it. And she went back like 5 years later talking with family members. And part of that seemed interesting to me. Almost to the point where I'm like, I should find out what that movie is that one is from.
Right.
And go and look up that movie.
I don't care.
I've kind of forgotten though. But that's the weirdest movie because like it didn't lie to me about what it was. Like you read the synopsis and it says, this is what my movie is. Thank you for watching it. And I'm like, people like it. I'm going to press play. And like, 90 minutes later, I'm angry at myself for doing it. And it's strange because it's not so much that I wasn't receptive to the movie at any point. Because I was there going like, alright, wow me. And one of the things was that I do at this point that I like to do is look up what people actually said about the movie other than the five words of, this movie is fantastic, guys.
Right.
And like one person I brought up was a friend of ours, Courtney Small. And he was talking about the concept of how with this movie with no story or anything, that when you move from shot to shot of what she's presenting to you, there's a weird way in which you kind of get engaged by that scene, even though there's really no connection. And I agree with him, right? There are interviews in there with, like, there's this child who has, like, an eye injury because of a missile that went by him, and she's talking to him, and it's intriguing. It's something that you get invested in, and then boom, you're moved over to the next thing, which has no connection. But it's one of those things, kind of like Birth of a Nation, that I agree with him that I get engaged into these small moments, but then after around 30 minutes of it, I'm like, no, fuck this, I'm done. I can't do any more of it. These should have been YouTube shorts or something, I don't know. But guys, I'm sure you've done this to yourselves multiple times before.
I did it this week.
What did you do it with this week?
I did it with Keeping Up with the Joneses.
It didn't lie to you, and you went into it all the same.
Damn, man. Saw that movie and I went,
I did it worse than you. I saw your review, your one-star review on Letterboxd.
I don't use half stars, I refuse.
I commented on it and said, I've tried watching it 3 times and I'm still only 10 minutes in. It looks horrible. I finished that movie.
Yeah.
I will use a half star if horrible. Only for the purpose, only for one purpose, because I don't want to leave it no stars so someone thinks I'm contemplating this.
Oh, okay.
So I'll put a half star so everyone knows, fuck this movie.
I'm still using a 4-point scale, except for movies that are truly tremendous.
So I that gets a 5. Stars, okay. Sorry. Makes sense.
Yeah. Not really, but I don't gamble.
Because essentially, no, you're using a 5-star scale.
No, it's still 4 stars. It's just 4 plus 1.
It's turned to 11.
Right.
And we learned in our elementary maths that 4 + 1.
Listen, numbers are equal.
Just taught that very recently.
Anyway, I just wanted to talk about camera person for a minute. Is there anything you guys want to talk about?
Nope.
Nope.
I'm on strike still.
You're on strike? Yeah. You'll be off strike in a minute. All right. I guess that's the podcast for the week. Ain't nobody smiling, bro. About to turn this motherfucker up like Rikers Island, bro. My fathers and my cripples and my blooders and my brothers. When you niggas gon' unite and kill the police motherfuckers or take over a jail. Get them CO's hell. The burning of that sofa, goddamn, I love the smell. Like it's the pillow torching. Where the fuck the warden? And when you find them, we don't kill them, we just waterboard them. We killing them for freedom cause they tortured us for boredom. And even if some good was that, fuck it, the Lord will sort them. We out of order, your honor, you out of order. This old court is unimportant. You fuckers are walking corpses. I'm a flip wig synonym, living within distortion. A bite into a science.